to enjoy, we hope, you're about to enjoy the Dave and Darren Top 5 Things podcast, a review of what happened on our morning show, which you can hear every morning live on Planet 93.9 and Planet939.com. My name is Dave, and this, of course, is my partner, Darren.
And the podcast is brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have two locations, one in Milan, one in Galesburg. Both open 7 days a week. You can order items online from either location through Leafly at the website, ntillinois.com.
Number one.
Out in Las Vegas, there's a fella in some trouble here. This scoundrel's name is Daniel Asif. Asif? Daniel Asif is 51 years old.
Cha.
He's looking at charges of attempted murder, DUI, and battery with a deadly weapon.
Well, that's no good.
He's accused of driving the wrong way on the 215 Beltway. Yesterday, he told a judge in court there in Vegas that the reason he was driving the wrong way on the Beltway was because the ghost of Dale Earnhardt had told him to do it.
The members of Dale Earnhardt Jr. Dale Earnhardt Jr. What's the name of that band?
They're now just called Junior.
They're called Junior. Yeah. What were they called?
They were Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Okay, that's
but now
right.
They're just called Junior.
Okay. Yeah. Did he make them stop?
This is the ghost of Dale Earnhardt Sr. who told him to drive the wrong way on a freeway. He wanted him to do this in order to get the mayor of Las Vegas's attention and bring NASCAR back to Las Vegas.
They don't have an event?
Not anymore, I guess. Judge Ann Zimmerman noted that Asif reportedly had heroin and methamphetamine in his system at the time of the crash.
It's quite a mixture.
Well, it seems...
You gotta watch that mixture.
It seems like you're defeating the purpose of either drug. You know? Like
kind of a standoff.
Yeah, kind of a counterbalance there. Prosecutors asking for a $200,000 bail for Asif, including alcohol monitoring and a ban on driving. That's probably a good idea.
You're saying I'm banned?
The judge set bail at $500,000 and has ordered Asif not to drive, calling him a danger to the community.
You're a menace.
This guy has a history of DUI, according to court records. No bail was set, and looking at attempted murder. Again, he did this. He explained to the judge because the ghost of Dale Earnhardt told him to do it, because that's the only way the mayor is going to bring NASCAR back to town. Is it
your attention, please? Now, did they stop racing in Las Vegas? Do I have this right? Did they, because they had a deadly crash there too, right?
Maybe.
Did they consider that the track was dangerous? That the way that the track was actually constructed, that it was not safe to race on?
Well, we were getting texts here on the text line at 470-239.
Or was that someplace else?
They do, in fact, race in Vegas.
Oh, they do race in Vegas.
Yeah, it's going to happen on March 6th.
Okay, so.
At the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. The Pennzoil 400 presented by Jiffy Lube.
Okay.
Does he want him to get there faster?
That's not good enough.
I can't wait a month for this. I know they're doing something in LA first, right? Is the season beginning before the Daytona 500? I'm going to be honest with you, dear listener. There are not two men in America that know less about NASCAR than me and Darren. So maybe we shouldn't talk about this. Maybe, you know, what we need is an expert. And are you
suggesting Hot Carl?
No, even better, Darren. Join now on the Jack Klugman Celebrity Hotline by the ghost of Dale Earnhardt phoning in.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, this is a
this is
a big
uncomfortable.
Deal.
Oh, boy. And he knows why. Oh, boy. Hello. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey, y'all. Hey. Hey, Darren, y'all can hear me from the afterlife? I'm Dale Earnhardt. They call me the Intimidator. Good morning, everybody. They're in.
Don't think that.
I understand we're in Davenport, Iowa, right now.
I don't think that's correct.
What do you mean?
Is that your? That was your nickname?
I was the Man in Black, and I was the Intimidator. It's all true.
You weren't the Enforcer?
No. Mm. Enforcer? No, that wasn't me. I was the intimidator.
Hmm. Who am I thinking?
Because of my aggressive driving style. Who am I? They also call me Ironhead.
Who am I thinking of? No.
The Enforcer? I don't think that's a guy.
No, I think that's Craig Hayworth. Wasn't that Craig Hayworth?
Ironhead? What? You're talking about a football player. This is Ironhead, Dale Earnhardt, Man in Black, the Intimidator.
Now,
calling you from beyond.
Now,
the
what is?
Beyond.
Now, who's your favorite football team, or was?
Oh, we favorite football team.
Well, you just mentioned football.
Oh golly, I like them. I like probably the Atlanta Falcons. I guess It's been a while. I've been dead for 20 years. Hey, I don't know. I'm from North Carolina, so I probably like the Panthers, but it's been so long, Darren. I can't remember. This is Darren, right? How y'all doing?
Would you say that Cam Newton was your favorite player?
Again, I've been dead for 20 years, so my favorite player is probably like...
Is this Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr.?
No, I'm the dad. I died in a car crash.
I'm not getting
Daytona 500, and I'm talking to you from the afterlife.
Can
now.
We do something with the audio? I'm not hearing him very well.
What?
I can't hear him very well.
I'm.
Is everyone else getting this? Because I'm not.
Yeah, no, they're all hearing it.
Okay.
You just don't want to talk to a dead man.
I'm
the Man in Black.
I'm having a tough time. No, I don't think that's true. Isn't that?
I hear you fine, Mr. Earnhardt.
Well, thanks.
Thanks, Dave. I died in Daytona. It'll be 21 years this February. I've been dead. Anyway, I just had a quick message for
you. Now, what is your take on, do you think we're going to get six more weeks of winter, or is it going to be an early spring?
Don't make the ghost of Dale Earnhardt a groundhog.
I'm not making him a groundhog. I'm just asking an
opinion.
You
want me to tell you whether or not we're going to get, y'all are going to get snow there in Davenport, Iowa?
No, are you predicting an early spring is all I'm asking.
Here's what I'm willing to say. Hmm. Six more weeks of winter, Darren.
Okay, all right.
Six more weeks of winter for y'all.
That's what it's. That's what I would probably guess myself.
Now, if y'all would like to have a NASCAR event there in the Quad Cities, I need everyone listening on the radio. Please, if you're on an interstate, drive the wrong way into traffic.
No, don't
that's
do
the
that.
Only way your mayor is going to give us.
Okay,
a
I knew this was
going to
turn into a dangerous segment.
Yeah, this is not responsible at all.
Just do it. Just turn your car around, y'all, and just drive into traffic, and that way NASCAR can come to your town. So do it. It's cool. It's cool to die in a car wreck. Do it. It's fun.
Okay. All right.
No, that's not okay.
Try it. Just do it. Just give it a chance. Y'all want NASCAR in your town, don't you? Feel like y'all don't want NASCAR bad enough. You're not driving the wrong way on the interstate. I'm looking from up here in heaven. Everyone seems to be driving the right way.
Well,
I'm very disappointed.
Let's keep it that way.
All right, I gotta go. Got a big day ahead of me here.
Bye, Enforcer.
That was never my nickname, you son of a.
Well, now you've upset him. Now we got the ghost of Dale Earnhardt mad at us.
To haunt us.
Great. Add that to the list of enemies. Why can't you play nice when we have people on the show? That was a big get for us.
I wasn't hearing him well.
Really?
Yeah. Bad connection, I think.
Well, he was calling from the afterlife.
Well, there you go. I hope I didn't get a roaming charge with that.
Two.
Nearly 15 million Americans have an alcohol use disorder, and the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism says that 95,000 people will die this year from alcohol-related deaths. How do you treat alcoholism? Generally, it's counseling, right? But what if there was a way through science that you could approve the medicine that you give to people struggling with alcoholism to make sure that they don't, you know, fall into bad habits and to backslide back into alcohol abuse? You got to go to meetings, but you would also, I imagine, take some sort of pill that would make it almost impossible for you to enjoy or even metabolize alcohol. And they're doing research right now at the University of Iowa involving an old drug that was used for diabetes.
Uh-huh.
And they're testing it on monkeys there in Iowa City. And this new treatment for alcoholism in monkeys they say could help humans next. There's a hormone called FGF21, which has been found to suppress alcohol consumption in monkeys. A peer-reviewed study that was just published yesterday in the journal Cell Metabolism, yes, we do subscribe, a team of researchers found that there's an analog compound of this hormone given to alcohol-loving monkeys who then reduced their booze intake by 50%. Kyle Flippo is a neuroscientist and a pharmacologist at the University of Iowa, and he tells the Daily Beast, quote, using hormones as a therapeutic approach to treat substance disorders is relatively novel. This is the first illustration that they could reduce alcohol consumption in non-human primates, and this could potentially open the door to treat alcoholism in human beings. The monkeys, by the way, in Iowa City are not given alcohol to the point where they become alcoholics. That would be unethical. They actually found a bunch of alcoholic monkeys.
Since when is testing on animals ethical?
Well, if it's...
I mean, some of the stuff they do.
Yeah, this seems ethical. But it would be, I guess, unethical to turn monkeys into alcoholics. These were monkeys that were already alcoholics. A colony of green vervet monkeys that were found on St. Kitts Island that are predisposed to both finding and consuming alcohol. Beer monkeys. And they have genetic traits that are passed down from generation to generation, just like in humans, right? There's a certain percentage of monkeys that have an innate preference for alcohol, just like us. Some monkeys got a placebo and the other got this hormone. Now, the alcohol that these monkeys drink, by the way, in St. Kitts Island, it's fermented fruit that they go after. They're not going up to the bar and ordering a Dos Equis.
And guess who just happened to be part of this study?
Well, I was not aware because people have been wondering where he's been all this time.
Uh-huh.
And I was not aware of it until I read this story and I reached out. And he explained to me that, yeah, that's what he's been up to. Here he is.
Here he is, the Quad City's favorite joke-telling monkey puppet. Ladies and gentlemen, one hand against another makes a lovely noise for Spank the Joke-Telling Monkey Puppet.
Yes, we know it sounds a little funky, but that's here on right. The radio,
say
we
hello
have
to everybody
monkey.
On the video feed.
Hey, everybody!
I am happy to say that.
Hey, Derek, how are you?
I'm great.
Happy Chinese New Year to you.
Yeah, the year
and
of the...
And all your Chinese listeners.
Year of the tiger. When's the next time is it the year of the monkey?
Every year's the year of the monkey.
I like to...
Every year's the year of the monkey in my mind, man.
Pretty pleased to announce that I did, in fact, sell a sponsor for Spank's appearance. It is brought to you by Bridgeford Monkey Bread. Cinnamon pull-aparts. Great for breakfast and snacks. Any time of day... Micro ready, just heat, and serve. That's Bridgeford Monkey Bread.
I'm not familiar with that brand.
Oh, it's excellent.
Where can I find this monkey
Zero
bread?
Zero grams of trans fats.
Does it have any monkey in it?
I don't believe so. I think it's...
That's not what monkey bread is. Bread made out of monkeys,
no,
right?
No, it's not.
It's like a sweet
like,
bread.
It's like a sweet bread, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And when we say sweet bread, we don't mean like, animal guts.
Is that a thing? People make bread out of animal guts?
No, but sweetbreads.
Anyway, I just got back from Iowa City. Boy, are my arms tired. That was your cue. Where's my
rim shot?
When I look at you like that, Lavore, that means rim shot. I just got back from Iowa City, and boy, are my arms tired. Oh, there you go. I'd like it to be a little tighter, though. A little tighter on the cues, please. Yeah, it's part of this, a bunch of eggheads, and they were giving us alcohol and I was like kind of half paying attention. They said, how would you like to get paid to drink and we'll put you up for a couple weeks? And I said, I'm there. It's pretty cool. Met some great monkeys. Some of them are wild.
That it's possible that it could reduce alcohol intake by 50%. Is that what they said?
Well, that's
not going to do you any good.
No, it couldn't hurt. But
were you part of the placebo or were you part of the?
They don't tell you that. Yeah, they don't tell you.
Some sort of double blind experiment. Is that what this was?
I guess they had a bunch of guys and like and gals in like lab coats and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
and they give you something to drink, and then they go, "How you feel? You feel like having another?"
Yeah.
And I said, "Are you buying?" Because then yeah.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. Let's keep the party going.
Exactly. Keep the party going.
And this was for how long?
Couple of months
is a boy. A little.
Gosh, I'm coughing and Spank's having a hard time. That's weird.
Yeah. Here, have a drink, the two of you.
How come we should do the bit where Lavar takes a drink.
Yeah, and then you keep talking.
I talk.
Yeah.
That would blow people's minds.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was pretty cool. Pretty cool there in Iowa City. A lot of chicks are stuck up there, though. I'll tell you that right now.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, they'll speak. I'm a scientist.
It's a different generation.
It wouldn't work out. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you try and compliment someone's backside, and they look at you like you took a dump in the punch bowl. Hey!
You did what?
Yeah, you're not. You shouldn't
what
be
kind
commenting
of, what
on.
What kind of expression is that?
Never heard that expression? You take a dump in the punch bowl?
No.
Yeah, that's not an expression.
No, I don't. That's not a saying.
Man was on his deathbed speaking to his wife. He says to her, he goes, "Helen, you and I, baby. We've been through so much together.
Yeah.
You remember when our shop burned to the ground? We lost everything that day. Everything of value we had in this world. And we had to start over from nothing. But Helen, dear, you were by my side." And the wife says, "Yeah, I remember, man. I remember that, dear." And he says, "Helen, when our son got killed in that terrible car accident."
Oh, boy.
"I was heartbroken. You know, I didn't think I could go on. But you, Helen, you were by my side." The wife begins to cry. She says, "Yes, I know, dear." And now the man says, "I'm about to leave this world. And in my final moments, where are you?" She's crying uncontrollably now. She says, "I'm right here by your side, dear." And that's when the man says, "Helen, I'm starting to think you're bad luck." Whammo!
I like that one.
I got one more.
Yeah. Is this the sort of thing that you were testing up in Iowa City as well? Yeah. I mean, you got to relieve the tension.
No, I tell you what I did as I unplugged. I told myself, when I'm in Iowa City and doing this drunk test, I might just get myself to freedom to just kind of unplug. And yeah, I'll really recharge the battery. I spend so much time working on material that that in and of itself can be something of an addiction, you know? So I said, I'm just going to focus on getting drunk all
the
time.
You're addicted to laughs. You're addicted to laughs, aren't you?
I am.
Yeah.
And heroin.
That's always been, that's always been your drug of choice.
Especially.
Heroin.
And booze.
Yeah.
And dames.
Yeah.
And the ponies.
Yeah, the gambling.
Oh, the ponies reminds me. I just saw my buddy Chuck. Yeah, he's crying his eyes out. Oh, Spank,
Yeah.
I said, "What's the matter, Chuck?" He says, "Well, Spank, today's the second day of the second month."
Yeah.
"And it's 2022.
Yeah.
And I just turned 22.
Huh.
2/2/22, and I'm 22 years old.
Right.
So I went to my bookie. And I put $222 on the second horse in the second race of the day.
Oh, boy.
And you know the post time? It was a 2:22.
Huh.
I said, "Chuck, that sounds like you can't lose. What went wrong?" He says, "That horse came in second." Whammo!
Excellent.
Very topical jokes. Ripped from the headlines.
Spank's appearance, again brought to you by Bridgeford Monkey Bread. Cinnamon pull-aparts, now available in lemon.
What?
Available in lemon.
You don't know what to... It's rare that we see Spank speechless like this.
You don't like tart things?
No, that sounds gross. That's the thing. That's what these monkeys from St. Kitts were like. You ever had rotted citrus? I said, "No, I do Johnny Walker. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
Like, oh, you have
a... You're a Johnny Walker Blue man, aren't you?
Yeah, I do like to work blue. It's true. And they're like, oh, no, you let this fruit rot all day in the sun and then you can get your buzz. And I'm like, why would you do that when you can just get, you know, a couple of bottles of Hawkeye vodka, right? I don't quite get these monkeys, but most of them were cool. A couple of them are real jagoffs, but most of the monkeys were real cool. Hmm. It's just that the women in Iowa City, I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
Just walk around with their nose in the air.
Yeah.
And like they're better than me.
Yeah, they're from a different world.
Yeah, it's a generational thing, yeah. Spank. It really is.
Yeah.
It's a generational thing. That's
yeah, exactly.
All right, I got to get that out of here.
Again, Spank's appearance
am brought to you by... Am I getting any of this monkey bread money? Because it's
Bridgeford Monkey Bread Cinnamon Pull-Aparts.
I don't feel like this is right that you guys are putting money on me.
Now, new lemon-flavored monkey bread.
Come here and I share my truth, and you monetize it. And by the way...
Got to make a buck.
That reminds me, next time I come on, I got to talk to you about my Spank NFTs.
Oh, okay.
This thing is going to be great.
Yeah.
You know how many idiots there are?
You should have like a Spank coin.
Look, you're two steps ahead of me. In the works. And next time I come on, we'll talk about my non-Fuji tokens.
Okay.
That are going to be, these things are going to be like going like hotcakes.
Available soon.
Yes. My guy's working on it. I got a guy that is working on my non-Fuji tokens, and it's going to be great, but we'll do that next time. I got to get out of here.
All right, see ya.
And there he goes, Spank the joke-telling monkey puppets.
Good to hear from him.
It was good to hear you get that sponsorship from the monkey bread people.
I'm just trying to make it happen.
Knocking it out of the park.
Number three.
Whitney Page Venable is a model.
Okay.
Who says she was humiliated and embarrassed during a trip to Universal Studios down in Orlando. That, of course, would be Orlando, Florida.
Thank you.
She was doing what?
She lives in Florida. She's a model, okay? And she was embarrassed and humiliated, she says, because she was told to cover up her big breasts. They were making people uncomfortable.
Funky.
She was wearing a crop at Universal Studios, and they came up to her and they said,
she was wearing
a crop top, I guess?
Oh, a crop top.
Is that what that's called? A crop? What is, now, come on. Every time we got to do this now?
Maybe the world is blind.
Bunky, I'm trying to ride a roller coaster. Bunky, cover those up.
Don't know.
You're distracting the people from the amusement park, Bunky.
Bunky, they won't let us on the Magic Mountain. Bunky, you're making Mickey Mouse sweat.
This is at Universal Studios in Orlando.
Bunky.
She's 26 years old, and she has previously suffered discrimination for her curvy shape, she says. She says an employee there at Universal Studios informed her she'd have to cover up her cleavage if she wanted to be let into the park. Wearing a white crop top and mint green shorts at the time of the incident, she says many other women were wearing similar outfits to hers.
Yeah.
She says, I felt humiliated and embarrassed.
Huh.
I was told I had to change my top to be able to enter. I think it's because I have naturally big breasts and it makes people uncomfortable. But
sweat.
As far as I know, my clothing was not against the rules.
Oh. Seems you can't be sure.
No, that's God's plan, Bunky.
Anything anymore.
Let your freak flags fly, Bunky.
You may be lonely and then...
Right.
Very, very fetching.
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously got a shape. I don't know how... First of all, it would not be a good idea looking at this crop top. It would not be a good idea to go on any roller coasters. She filmed herself as she was walking into the theme park, very excited. And then later the film shows them standing at the entrance being told that her outfit was inappropriate. And she says, I guess my top is inappropriate for Universal, we're having a problem right now. Apparently, I have to go change into a more appropriate top, even though I've seen a lot of people here in sports bra-looking tops.
Maybe the Timber Mountain log ride would be more your speed.
One day you're smiling again. Every time I turn around.
Okay. That's enough. She says, looking back, the model says, I felt like I was being targeted, and it was the summer, so it was so hot. I didn't really understand the issue, but having natural large breasts brings attention.
Come on. Come on, kids, grow up.
Exactly. Let this woman into the park. Who do you think you are, Universal?
She was just coming in as a patron?
Yes.
Giggity.
That's ridiculous. She's not an employee?
No.
Well, then you can't do that.
She says, I ended up putting on another top over the sports bra. My friend had another top in the car, but I ended up taking off later on in the park because it was hot.
Yeah.
And muggy, and I was really angry.
She paid her money to get in there.
She says, smaller women can wear whatever they want, but having big breasts gets sexualized.
Yep.
This is not the first time she's been in the news for her looks. Last year, she claimed she was banned on Twitter for being too hot. And she said people only reporting her sexy pictures because they're jealous
hot girls,
of her beauty.
We have problems, too.
Yeah, you know, it's true. It's true.
It really should be put pen to paper and maybe to song.
Hot girls, we have problems, too. We're just like you.
Except
we're hot.
She says of the Twitter thing that she dealt with last year, one day I changed my cover photo to an innocent shot of me showing off my figure, but I was wearing underwear, and suddenly my account was banned.
Banned?
It made me feel discriminated against because there are far worse pictures on Twitter. Some of them are like actual porn showing off really graphic angles. I'm sure that if I wasn't so good looking in the photo, it would have stayed up. I firmly believe Twitter deleted my account because I'm too hot. Mm-hmm. And jealous people who aren't as attractive complained or said I was promoting sexual activity. It's not fair.
Well, I'll tell you what, we're ugly and it's not easy.
it's true.
It's not easy being hideous.
There's not a lot to this crop top, but it's hot in Orlando. What are you going to do?
It's hot in Orlando and she paid her entrance fee.
Right. And they, you know, if you're making people uncomfortable, were patrons complaining? I guess, is that how that works? Is there just somebody going, I don't like the way she looks? Or is that something they just preemptively do so they don't have to deal with people coming up and complaining that I'm made to feel uncomfortable by the woman with the large breasts? Well, best of luck to her. She's a hot girl with a hot problem. Whitney Page Venable.
Number four.
Jason Momoa and Lisa Bonet broke up, and I still can't wrap my head around that. I thought for sure that was one that was going to last. Now we have news that Jason Momoa is living in a van.
Well, wasn't
in
that
his buddy's driveway?
Wasn't that his whole thing? Isn't that how they met?
Is Jason Momoa was living in a van at the time?
No, it was like they somehow, can I live at your house? That was like his pitch. Wasn't that like his come on line? How about I live in your house? like
that's an odd pickup line.
I think that was the pickup line. I'd like to live where you live. Can we do that? Do I have that wrong?
I don't remember that being the story.
I think it is. I think
so.
That's how they met.
Well, I know that
him requesting to live at your house. I bet it's nice.
Like on their first date?
Before the first date even happens.
I bet you live in a nice house.
I bet you live in a nice house. Can I live there?
And then she said yes.
Yeah, and she said yes, and then they were together for what, 10 years or something?
And then, I don't understand.
Did they have children?
Yeah, I think they do.
Okay, well, that probably took place in the house.
So that was the deal.
Uh-huh. That's my come on line.
Hey, Lisa Bonet, I bet you got a real nice place.
How about I live there?
I'd like to live there. 1987, he saw Lisa Bonet on a TV screen and said, I'm going to marry her.
Okay, at her house.
Here's Jason Momoa explaining to, now I will say trigger warning, this is a clip from the James Corden show. So you're going to have to hear a little bit of James Corden. There's no way for me to edit him out. I apologize in advance.
And your partner, Lisa Bonet, you just got married last month. Yeah.
Stop. Quit clapping. They get divorced.
Stop it. 12 years together. Two kids.
Finally, yeah.
Yeah, you finally put a ring on it.
Yep. Finally, man.
And am I right in thinking this necklace is a wedding present?
It may be. It may be.
It's beautiful. What is it?
Thank you, man. My friend Jaitico made these skulls, but it took about 4 years to carve this.
No.
My friend.
So they got divorced as soon as they got married?
Pretty much.
So they were basically together for 12 years, and as soon as they make it official as far as marriage goes, it's like, I don't like this.
I don't know what to do with my friend Jaitico's marriage skulls now. What do I do with these?
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's nice.
Wow. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. When you met, was it love at first sight?
It was more than that, because ever since I was like 8 years old and I saw her on the TV, and I was like, Mommy, I want that one. I'm like, I'm going to stalk you for the rest of my life, and I'm going to get you.
Oh, did you? Was there stalking involved?
I am a full-fledged stalker.
Really?
I don't know that you want to be putting that energy out there.
Mommy, I want that one.
Now, how many unhinged weirdos are watching this and thinking,
saying, see, it works.
I can do this. Answer my letters, Jodie Foster.
And tell her that.
No, that's why.
Two babies. Yeah. Otherwise, it'd be creepy. Yeah. Be creepy and weird. Yeah. No.
I'm still kind of creepy and weird.
It's never a great inn with a lady. I've been stalking you.
Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to meet her, and she was a queen always. And when I met her, we met at this jazz club, and we just happened to be at the right place, right time, mutual friends. Mm. And I actually had dreaded my hair almost for her. I had huge dreadlocks, and she had dreadlocks, and I literally turn around, I'm with my best friend, and I see her, and I'm just like, she goes, I'm Lisa, and I'm like,
it works.
Yes. And I'm just like, I turn around to my friend, I'm just like, fireworks going off inside, man.
Really?
And then we went, I just...
Because I thought about, she's probably got like an open concept house I could live
in. She probably has a guest room.
Oh my God, imagine how thick that roof is.
I convinced her to take me home because I was living in a hotel.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was like, I convinced her to, because I didn't have a car. I was like, please, I'm living at this hotel. And it was Cafe 101. And we sat down and she ordered a Guinness. And that was it.
Because you love Guinness, right? You're drinking Guinness tonight.
She ordered a Guinness. Guinness. And then I ordered grits, and we had Guinness and grits, and, you know, the rest was history.
Oh, my gosh. So that is his whole gimmick. I'm currently homeless. I'm new in town. Well, he's now living in a van in his buddy's driveway. They announced...
Bet it's a nice van.
...earlier this year that they were parting ways in marriage after... feeding and growing from the seismic shifts occurring. He is living, it says here, in a $750,000 Ford RV in the motorhome where he lives now in his buddy's driveway.
That's not bad.
Mm-hmm. It's a camper van.
How do you get your mail?
I don't know. What mail do you think he's getting?
I don't know.
Just all that stuff's getting sent over to Lisa Bonet's house. Yeah, so he's living in a van that costs $750,000. And when you hear RV, it just looks like a regular camper. I don't know why. I don't know how this thing costs $750,000.
So
it's not like a big motorhome. It's not like something you would see a country
touring
music.
Bus or what?
No. No, it's like a Winnebago. But it looks like, I mean, it's got like a cool.
So you're saying he overpaid big time.
I think it's possible. A source close to the star says that Jason stays in the RV often and has opted to sleep in there instead of getting a hotel so he can be by the beach. Okay, but, you know, they've got hotels on the beach. Living in a motorhome. It's a Earth Roamer XVLTI026, said to cost $750,000. He loves this vehicle so much that he took it to the Aquaman premiere in 2018. Yeah, well, that's home now. I just live in a van down by the beach. I'm Aquaman.
It's a shame that movie didn't do better.
Aquaman?
Yeah.
It was a big hit.
Was it?
Sure, they're doing a sequel. If anyone needs me, I'll be at my buddy's house. How long do you let a friend crash in your driveway?
Well, it depends. Are you blocking my vehicle?
Every time?
I mean, it's one thing if as long as I can still get out and go where I need to go. If I have to have you move the RV every time I want to go somewhere, then that's a problem.
Jason, why do you park on the right side of the driveway?
Why do you park in the middle of the driveway? It's one thing. Pick the left. I told you I park here. You park over here so that if I need to open the garage and get in the car and leave. Why are you parked right in the middle?
Bro, it's near the beach. That's
You're parked in a...
Hey, you want to come in my van and have a Guinness? I love Guinness and grits. Come on in, man. It smells great in here.
That's not grits I smell.
No, it's not, bro. Check out this skull necklace my bro Germagic made for me. What was the cat's name? Took him 4 years to make this skull, man, for my marriage to Lisa Bonet.
Mm-hmm. Part of my drip.
It's all my persona, if you'll have it. Jason, I got to take the kid to school.
Don't park in a diagonal.
Number five.
There's a startup in Sweden that is training crows to pick up litter in exchange for food. Crows are like super smart animals, right? The Keep Sweden Tidy Foundation says that they have employed these crows. They say over 1 billion cigarette butts are left on the streets of Sweden every year. And cigarette butts, at least in Sweden, make up 62% of all litter. You try and teach human beings to not throw their cigarette butts on the street, but...
We're going to have better luck with crows than humans.
What does that tell you?
It tells you all you need to know.
They say that they have taught crows how to pick up litter.
We're going to give up on the human beings.
We're done with that.
Not going to work.
Asking human beings to be
humans. Forget it.
It's not happening. They say they're going to save millions of krona in cleaning fees every year. That's Swedish money there, right? Corvid cleaning. Corvid is an adjective that means, it's like elapid means cobras. Mm-hmm. Corvid means of or pertaining to crows.
Corvid.
I don't love that name given the last 2 years. Corvid cleaning.
That's just unfortunate.
Teaches wild crows to do our dirty work with a step-by-step learning process that involves rewarding the birds with food for every cigarette butt they collect. The founder of the company is Christian Gunther Hansen, and he says that the crows are, quote, easier to teach
than people.
And there's also a higher chance of them learning from each other. At the same time, there's a lower risk of them mistakenly eating any of the garbage.
Yeah, you don't want them eating those cigarette butts.
They're wild birds taking part on a voluntary basis. So you teach a couple of crows to do it, and then other crows see, hey, wait a minute, if you pick up a cigarette butt and you bring it there, they give you food? Well, I could do that. And the crows are teaching each other now
how to pick up. So what if they got set up? A place where you basically, there's a wastebasket, they throw the, and then there's like a little dispenser?
Exactly. The birds are trained to associate cigarette butts with food, and then a food dispenser will drop food off for the crows when they arrive with the cigarette butts. That's all like automated.
Mm-hmm.
The crows will then clean up the streets of all these cigarette butts.
Raji!
For for crow food. Crows are the smartest birds, among the smartest birds on Earth. And these training programs are proving wildly successful. In fact, Corvid Cleaning is so confident they can pull this off that now they are doing it on a larger scale in bigger towns. And this initiative could save the cities that they serve 75% of the costs involved with picking up cigarette butts.
Big smokers, the Swedes?
I guess so.
Who smokes the most?
Which country smokes the most?
Yeah, I mean, I would think numbers are down pretty much everywhere, but maybe that's not the case.
Which country smokes?
I know it seemed like a lot of people smoked in Japan the one time I was there.
Yeah.
But that's just, that was just being there a week.
Well, I mean, I guess if you look at the world's leading country in the cigarette industry.
Consumption.
Yeah. It's China.
China.
The world's most populated country, also the leading country in the cigarette.
Per capita?
Well, no, you're not talking per capita. They have more people than anybody else. So, I see what you're saying. So if we were to look per capita.
Who smokes the most? Yeah.
Yeah. So they're two different questions.
Right.
Who smokes the most? The answer is the Chinese.
Well, there's a lot of people.
The highest smoking rate in the world.
Highest smoking rate.
That would be Nauru. 52.1%. of people in Nauru smoke. Okay. Women smoke at a higher clip than men, by the way, which is something of an outlier. Normally, men smoke more than women.
And what are some other countries with the smoking rates?
Kiribati, which is an independent island nation in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, right? I had no idea. Nauru, by the way, is a country that also has obesity problems, limited lifespan, and childhood health issues. Nauru. No thanks. That's another one of these islands in the middle of nowhere. Tuvalu. Myanmar. You might know it as Burma, but it'll always be Myanmar to me. And then Chile at number 5. Rounding out the top 10, Lebanon, Serbia, Greece, Bangladesh, and Bulgaria. Countries that smoke the most cigarettes. I have to assume that there's crows in all of these countries. Put the crows to work cleaning up cigarette butts. It's fascinating to me that you would have the wherewithal to think, if I build a machine and teach the crows how to pick up cigarette butts, I can have these crows working for me.
Now, when you buy
peanuts, literally.
When you buy a new car in Nauru, you think they still have the ashtray?
That's a good question.
Can I get the island package?
I think I need an ashtray.
I gotta have.
Not for me. It's for the wife. She's something of a big smoker.
A higher rate than myself.
Yeah. Normally, when you look at it's a country in Oceania, tiny island, just northeast of Australia. There's only 10,000 people that live on the island.
How many car dealership options do I have?
I don't know that there's a ton, man. I mean, if we're talking about a
Nauru Ford, what's it going to take me today to get you into this vehicle?
Yeah, I don't
know. Does it have an ashtray?
I don't know, man.
I think you know the answer.
This doesn't look like the... They've got a parliament. I don't know, man, as far as like... Driving around.
What sort of options do I have?
There's probably just one car dealership, right? The island is served by the Nauru International Airport. Accessible by the sea as well. As far as transportation goes, they don't have any newspapers. There's one TV station, and it broadcasts shows that come from Australia and New Zealand.
Nice.
And there's also Radio Nauru, but that carries programs from Radio Australia and the BBC. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about getting a car.
Surrounded by a body of water?
Even though it's got a body of water around it?
Mm-hmm.
Amnesty International describes the conditions of refugees of war living in Nauru as a horror.
Not the best.
Yeah.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was Dave and Darren's top five things. Thanks for downloading it and listening to it and subscribing to it and telling all of your friends how much you enjoyed it and leaving reviews and, gosh, all of it. All of it. And thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois, too, right?
Yeah, they've got two locations, one in Milan, one in Galesburg. Both are open 7 days a week. They have recreational waiting lists available, and that's where you can reserve your time by going to the website ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities reference spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
We're cakes for nutches.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.